welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
And it shall come to naught. Speak your word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Tonight I wanted to, I have two messages here. Generational thinking. But the other thing that keeps ringing in my spirit is, I keep hearing conspiracy. So I'll probably just move with the spirit and let's get into some serious intercession tonight. And, you know, I was in London. Before I went to London, it was very cold and the weather was bad. And they kept telling me, Papa, the weather is bad. It's cold. And for the U.S., they kept frightening me that the weather is bad. It hasn't been this way for 150 years. And it's bad, and it's bad, and it's bad. And I said, I hear you. But then the Spirit said, there's a conspiracy. And I think that one of the things that the enemy has successfully done against the body of Christ or humanity is to veil us. Say the veil. Somebody do this, say remove the veil. Folks, until the veil is removed, we are vulnerable. And I'm going to say some very powerful things tonight, because one of my assignments tonight is to make you mad, is to make you angry. Because until you are angry, until you are sick and tired of your situation, you will not do what is required to get the kind of change you deserve. When Esau came and Jacob had come in by manipulation to take the blessing, he said to the dad, Isaac, is there nothing left for me? And Isaac said, as a matter of fact, I've made him Lord over you, and you will be his servant. You serve him. But then said Isaac, but it shall come to pass, when you can't take it anymore, you will break loose and walk free. Come on, somebody. You didn't get that one. You didn't get that one. Tell somebody, it's about time to break loose and walk free. He said, when you can't take it anymore, you'll break loose and you'll walk free. One of the reasons why certain things keep happening in our lives is because, for whatever reason, we just let it happen. We just let it go. Another translation said, and it shall come to pass when you are restless. Ooh, I like that one. Tell somebody, and say, are you restless? Are you restless? You are not yet restless. You see, a woman in travail is in a state of restlessness. And she wants that baby to come out. And she will do anything, don't care who is there and what's going on. She just wants that baby out. That is desperation. Another translation said that when you are desperate. I don't see desperation anymore in the church. And that is the reason why the adversary is fooling with us. But there come a time in the life of every man and woman when you had it and you say, no, it's about time for a change. How many people are ready for a change tonight? You ready for a change? So, we have a few days here. Myself and Prophet Ajimai will be with you. So, we'll be able to... Go ahead. So, I'll have another time to talk to you about generational thinking, because you will never impact your generation and your world until you become a generational thinker. When you don't think today, but you think generations to come. And we'll deal with that. But tonight, I want us to break something, because there's a lot going on. Turn to somebody and say, there's a lot going on. Hear me. There is nothing like an accident in the spirit. When you hear that there's an accident, it wasn't an accident. Tell somebody, it is programming. Say, it's manipulation and projections. When you watch a movie, most time when you watch a movie, the most important person is not the people in the movie. They are acting based on a script. The one that is very important is the producer. Because he put that script together, and he gets people to act based on the script. Most of the things we see in our lives and in the lives of individuals, as a spiritual man, I've been preaching for 41 years, and I've come to certain conclusions. And sometimes I don't want to say, and I don't want to preach new truths, because I realize that most times the thing we call the old truths, we haven't even gotten it right yet. And I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again till I see the change. Because the adversary is so subtle and is good at what he does that he has succeeded to veil the leaders of the church and the body of Christ, that we end up blaming one another and never see what's going on behind the scenes. Tell somebody, something is going on, in the shadows. Now turn to somebody and say, what's going on behind the scenes? I was dealing with a situation recently, and I won't tell you the details. And as I was handling the situation, the Lord said unto me, he said, it's a demonic diagnosis and prescription that is playing out. I said, I don't understand. And he said, son, this is a programming and a prescription from her family that is determining the outcome of her circumstances. So what you are seeing is something that was determined, decided, programmed in the womb of time and on satanic calendar that is playing out. And immediately I understood that unless we go behind the scenes to attack what is going on in the shadows, to interrupt that programming and to arrest that time-sensitive assignment, it doesn't matter what she does. The outcome of her life is already determined. Now take for instance, I know that the Bible says that I know the thoughts you have of me, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. And to give me what? An expected end. So God thought of you and I are good and not of evil. Is that correct? Yes. They are not of evil. Yes. But do you know the opposite of not of evil is evil? So someone else has an evil thought and an evil imagination towards you. See, I hear you. Look at Psalm 41. Psalm 41 verse 5. I want to show you something. Look at Psalm 41 verse 5. Psalm 41 verse 5.
Psalm 41 verse 5. My enemies speak evil of me.
They speak what? They speak what? Turn to somebody and say, do you know that someone is speaking ill of you? You see, look at me. I want to wake you up. One of the reasons why we only pray the way we pray when we come to church is because we don't understand the reality of the spiritual world. We take a lot for granted. Tell somebody, the target of good is evil.
Target of good.
Is there any good person here or anyone trying to be good? Come on, you give me a wave offering. Okay? You are the target of evil. Now tell somebody, evil is never satisfied till it destroys good.
Evil is never satisfied till it destroys good.
And I know a lot of folks say things like this. You know, I'm a good person. I don't think ill of anybody. I don't desire anybody's wife or husband. I try to be good. I don't think ill of anybody. That is great. That is good. But that does not exempt you from the attack of the evil one. Do you know when soldiers go to battle, they don't worry about territories they've already captured? Why? Because they already have it. They target those they haven't yet captured. So the enemy, the adversary, is not worried about the wicked because he has them already. You are his concern. Because you are making the effort to serve God. There's a love of God and a desire in you to do right. So you become the target because he hasn't yet gotten hold of you. So he targets you to make sure he gets you. So it's not enough to be good. You need to understand the protocols of the Spirit. Say the protocols of the Spirit.
Protocols of the Spirit.
Because if you are ignorant of the protocols, the enemy and the adversary can have an advantage over you. Whatever the conspiracy is. And the Lord said to me, he said, pray and curse the conspiracies of her ancestors. Now, when the Bible said the Lord will visit the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, a fourth generation means 30 ancestors. Say 30 ancestors.
30 ancestors.
So there are so many of you seated here, you're serving God, you love God, but there are a lot of interference. Something interferes, interrupts, and try to manipulate your circumstances. Even some of your decisions and your choices. I know, for instance, there are women in the church. They are attracted to a particular kind of men. Men who are abusive. Men who will never take care of them. Men who will mess them up. And when a good man comes, they tell you, I don't feel anything for this one. I don't feel the chemistry. I don't feel the fire. I don't feel the anointing. They always feel the anointing with crazy men. And there are men in the church. They love the crazy sisters. The ones that are off. And when the good sisters come, they don't feel it. I'm just telling you. You say, how do you, I've been preaching for 41 years. I'm preaching. I preach everywhere. I know it. I see them all the time. A lady came to me in London. She said, I earn a lot of money. I have apartments. I have a house. I have vacation house. God has blessed me. I earn six figures. And she said, my greatest problem in life is, for whatever reason, I'm not attracting the right man. And she said, I only attract marriage men. And she said, what am I dealing with? And I said, you are dealing with the curse of unavailable love. And until you deal with it and address it, you can speak in tongues, make all the confession you want to, and the adversary will still have an advantage over you because you are ignorant. I want, within these days, I want every veil, and every spiritual blindness to be destroyed off of your life. And I want you to have illumination. Somebody say illumination.
Illumination.
Do you know when you have a key, you don't knock, you open? I believe that by the end of these meetings, you will walk out of here with two things, key and light. Okay, let's begin our journeys right now. Let's begin our journey. Come with me. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11.
2 Corinthians, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 11. For we are not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
Tell somebody there are devices. Tell somebody, do you know you are dealing with the devices? Yeah, you are. And the devices here stands for conspiracies or the methodology of the enemy. The workings of the adversary to keep you and I ignorant and to make us believe that everything is okay because you are a believer and you are tongue speaking, you love God, you go to church, you pay tithe, give an offering, so everything is fine. Who told you? The day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, from that very day, you joined the army of God against all hell. And you became a target of the adversary. And he is on your case. And you got to be on your case also. You have to be on top of your game and understand that there's an enemy. And he's not flesh and blood, but he works through flesh and blood. The enemy cannot operate without a human body. He needs, most times when somebody is against you, if you're a very spiritual person, you will have to go past that individual. And you will see that behind the scene, there is an opening. And that person has just been engaged or deployed as a weapon and a tool in the hands of the adversary to get at you. Sometimes I can look at people in their eye and I can tell what spirit is working. Yeah, you just look at them. Look at their eye, you can tell what spirit is operating. But it's operating through their eyes. Say the adversary. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9.
1 Corinthians 16 verse 9.
For
a great door, an effectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries.
There is a great opening for all of us this year. God has some great things in store for you. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, this is your year of harvest. It's your year of greatness. But hear me, every blessing and every new level provokes and attracts new devils. Do you hear what I said? Can you sense what I'm sensing? I said there are some good things in the horizon for us, for you and I, but it attracts and provokes new devils. The devil or the adversary wants you to stay where you are. He don't want you to go beyond where you are. And you need to be aware of that. Because there are people who just believe that God has opened a great door for me, and therefore everything is going to be all right. I heard this word of the Lord, I'm going to break through. Why is it not happening? There are adversaries. Every new door, an opportunity, a new beginning provokes and attracts new devils. Somebody say, talk to me.
Talk to me.
I'm talking to you. There are conspiracies behind the scenes. Conspiracies in the spirit to block you, to limit, to restrict, to deny you. Say, I refuse to be denied this year. Say, I will not be denied this year. Say, I will not be exploited by the adversary. Say, I will not be hindered. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the judicial hand of the Lord.
By the judicial hand
of the Lord.
I override.
Every adversary. Unseen adversary.
Spirit adversary.
Human adversary.
I override them.
I revoke their powers.
I command them.
To stand down. Relinquish their powers. Surrender their weapons. In the name of Jesus. Nehemiah 4:7-9. Nehemiah chapter 4.
Nehemiah 4, mm-hmm. 7-9. Mm-hmm. But it came to pass, mm-hmm. that when Sambalat and Tobiah,
uh-huh.
and the Arabians,
uh-huh.
and the Ammonites,
uh-huh.
and the Ashdodites,
uh-huh.
heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up.
When they heard, you know, the adversary have heard the announcement that this is your year of harvest. Are you hearing me, somebody? And he's going to put up a fight. He's going to put up a fight. So those of you who think that because you are born again and you are Holy Ghost filled, the battle is the Lord and everything is going to be all right. Everything is not going to be all right. Let me just tell you. Because the adversary is going to put up a fight. Because he doesn't want you to succeed. He loves to see the people of God oppressed, afflicted, and messed up. He don't like it. You think everybody is happy for you when you are making it and succeeding in life? No, it's a lie of the devil. Our greatest enemies are demons. Persons without bodies. Yeah. They are real. But they work through human bodies. But they are persons without bodies. And they don't want to see you succeed in your finances, in your health. And when it comes to your assignment and your mission on earth and your dreams and your vision, he wants to frustrate your vision, frustrate your dream, hinder you. So you are always marking time, paying your time, giving offering, loving God, but you don't have a testimony. But by divine authority, I declare this year you have a testimony.
Amen.
I said this year you have a testimony.
Amen.
Sit down for 2 minutes. One of the tricks of the adversary is to make sure that you serve God without a testimony. And when you serve God without a testimony, it takes away something from you. How many of you are in business? Stand on your feet. How many of you are in business? Stand on your feet, please. All right, you may be seated. How many of you are professionals? Stand on your feet, please. Professionals. Thank you. All right. After the service, I want to meet all the professionals and all those in business. Bishop, can I meet them in your office?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks. Amen. Go ahead. They heard. Mm-hmm.
They heard, mm-hmm. that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth.
You see, there are folks who get offended and angry when they hear of your success, when they hear of your achievement. When they hear that you are beginning to succeed or do something right, they get angry, they get offended. Say, how dare you think you want to make a difference? You ain't going nowhere. You belong here. You don't belong anywhere. You belong where God wants you to be. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I'm not going to let anybody hold me down or keep me down. I'm breaking loose and breaking free. Tell somebody, I'm breaking loose and breaking free.
And breaking free. Then they were very angry.
Very angry. Go ahead.
and conspired, all of them together.
Say conspiracies of adversaries.
Adversaries.
Many people. Not one, not two. They came together and they conspired to stop your progress and the progress of the church. Left to the adversary alone, you are not going anywhere. But the devil is a liar. Tell somebody the devil is a liar. Tell somebody this year is my year.
Is my year
to make a difference.
To make a difference.
And you will make a difference this year. I'm prophesying with my eyes open that you will make a difference this year. Say yes.
Yeah.
Sit down for 2 minutes.
And conspired all of them together to come and to fight.
Say conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
To come and to fight.
Against Jerusalem.
Any group of individuals who have conspired to come against you this year. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them be broken in pieces. Let them be like chaff before the wind.
Yes.
Let them be like smoke before the wind.
Yes.
Let them perish in the name of Jesus. Say yes.
Yes.
Sit down for 2 minutes.
To come together and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it.
You see, now, what you don't understand about this, because a lot of Christians believe that, we have to be forgiven and we have to forgive. I'm not talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about demons deploying and using men and women as vehicles and tools and weapons and instruments to stop the will and the plan of God for your life. That is not the forgiveness matter. Are you hearing me, somebody? I will forgive you if you offend me. I can forgive you. Are you hearing me, somebody? But when I know that the enemy is working through you, are you hearing me, somebody? And he has taken over your emotions, your will, and your thought patterns. And you are standing in the way of the will of God for my life. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. It's not a forgiveness matter. Are you hearing me, somebody? I have the right to override that situation. Tell somebody, override.
Override.
In the name of Jesus. I will override you. Fulfill the will of God for my life, and then if I have to forgive you, I'll forgive you. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's all ignorance that the devil is fooling with us. Don't think that all I love to do is warfare. Are you hearing me? If you know what I know, folks, the enemy is wicked. I'm telling you. And the reason why I'm teaching this is because there are so many of you seated here. Let's finish this scripture. I want to show you something. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God.
We did what? That's what you do. So don't tell me. Listen, I believe in systems. And I believe in strategies. But one of the most powerful secret weapons that nobody can stop. Listen, prayer is powerful than intercontinental ballistic missile. Are you hearing me, somebody? And prayer is strategic. Prayer knows no limits. Prayer breaks through unseen barriers. Say yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And set a watch against them.
Tell somebody, set a watch against them.
Against
tell somebody, be on your watch.
Be on your watch.
Be on your guard.
Be on your guard.
Don't relent.
Don't relent. Set a watch against them day and night.
Day and night.
Because of them.
Because of them. Day and night. You can't relent. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because the enemy you are dealing with does not relent. So you can't relax and say everything is okay. And I keep saying all the time that for whatever reason, it's like Christians, we are very lazy. I have Jewish friends. I was just in Sierra Leone with a Jewish friend of mine. They pray 3 times a day. And they don't apologize for it. And they don't compromise. When it's time to pray, they excuse themselves and they go pray. But we Christians, we don't have a set time to pray. Other religions like Islam, they pray 5 times a day. How many times a day do we pray? And they are consistent about it. Whether they are sad, they are happy, they are hurt, they are offended, they have money, or they are broke, they owe, they don't owe, it doesn't matter what. They do it religiously. We don't have a consistent prayer life. We pray like when we feel like praying. We pray every now and then. And sometimes even when you're going to go and pray, your wife says, where are you going, babe? If the wife don't say, I need you in bed, the man going to say, hey, girl, stay here. We compromise the weightier things of our lives. We're not consistent. And you are dealing with an adversary that is consistent and does not relent. And you think you're going to succeed? Succeed to what extent? And say, Jesus did it all. Yes, he did. But we have to enforce what he did. Say, I hear you.
Amen.
The judge makes law. The judge makes a decree in court. But the judge does not enforce it. The Congress, Senate, they come up with laws and legislations. But they don't enforce it. It's the law enforcement agent. It's the police that enforces it. You and I are the law enforcement agents of the kingdom. And it is left to you and I to enforce what is written. And to appropriate. You know, Jesus died, became poor that we might become rich. You know how broke a lot of Christians are? And Jesus became poor that we might become rich. And you don't find rich people in the church. Just few rich people. And most rich people in the church, they have a bad attitude. They think everybody got to, hallelujah. That's all I said. You can add anything you want to add to it. You said it, I didn't say anything. I just say hallelujah. Amen. When they get blessed and start making money, they move from the front seat to the second, to the third, to the fourth, and they keep moving to the end of the seat, and then you see them standing at the sound, and then next time to the gate, and then they come to church at Easter and 31st night. And they get so busy. I'm busy. You're busy? A day is coming. And you won't be busy anymore. And you know why a lot of Christians don't tithe? And they fight the principle of tithing? Is because when they start coming into money, money becomes their God. And whatever you can't give to God is your God. Whatever you refuse to give to God has you. You don't have it. If the 10%, or let me put it this way, if the 90 is not enough, what would the 10 do? The 90 is not enough. What would the 10 do? And God is not asking you to give him the 10% because he needs your money. Giving God the 10% gives him authorization to protect the 90. That's it. When you give God the 10%, you give him authorization and recognition of the right of ownership to defend the 90 and to rebuke the devourer when he comes for the 90. But when you deny God the 90, you deny him authorization. So when the adversary comes for the 90, he can't defend you. He can't rebuke the adversary. He can't protect the 90. And that's where a lot of Christians are broke. Not that only. You see, if you tithe and you don't give offering, the devourer is rebuked, but you have no seed in the ground, so you don't have a harvest. And if you give an offering and you don't tithe, the devourer has the right to devour your harvest. So it is tithe and offering. And don't tell me tithe is Old Testament. Don't fool yourself. Did we fast in the Old Testament? Did we?
Yes.
Do we fast in the New Testament?
Yes.
Did we pray in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Do we pray in the New Testament?
Yes.
Do we worship in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Do we worship in the New Testament?
Yes.
Did we praise in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Do we praise in the New Testament?
Yes.
Did we take communion in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Do we take communion in the New Testament?
Yes.
Did we give offering in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Do we give offering in the New Testament?
Yes.
So why is tithe the only thing that is Old Testament? Tell somebody, stop fooling yourself. Church folk think they are smarter than God. But you're fooling yourself. You are messing. You know what a tithe is. Let me explain this to you. Please stand. Hold what you're holding. Okay? Yeah. Now, let me say something. Say, I give you. Let me give you some money. Okay. No, you give it back to me. Tell somebody, take your hands off my money. The brother immediately is giving tax of my money. Okay, sit down. Bishop Christie, I'll use you. So I get back my money. So, no, don't put it in your pocket. Yeah. You can't have it. Now, so I just gave him $1,000, okay? How much is the tithe? 100, and then the offering can be 150 more or whatever, okay? So, this is the tithe and the offering. As soon as he takes this off, by praying and acknowledging and say, Father, by giving you my tithe and my offering, I acknowledge your right of ownership and I give you authorization to rebuke the devourer and to prosper the 90, to multiply it and to secure my harvest, that I will not die prematurely and there will be no premature death within my walls. Read the scriptures carefully, you see it all there. And now I believe you for windows, that you might open windows and cause me to see beyond where I am. Give me advanced knowledge, insight and foresight. Okay? After you pray that prayer, God then has authorization to protect the 90. So if anybody comes to steal the 90, the angel of the Lord will block them and say, this is God's property. You can't touch it. Now, let me show you something. This is it. I gave him $1,000 and he owes you electricity bill, children's school fees. Electricity bill, children's school fees, rent. Then after, pay your tithe and your offering. Tithe and offering. It's tithe and offering. Good. Now watch this. Watch this. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. God doesn't want it. It's not tithe. It can be $1 trillion and God say, I don't want it. I don't need your money. You violated a principle. You didn't follow protocol. Say divine protocol. Why? Because the tithe is under, watch this, the tithe comes under the law of first things. Say first things. So the tithe goes first before you spend the money. If you spend it and tithe after, it's not tithe. Because the 10, the first 10, sanctifies the 90. So if you don't give God the first 10 and you use it, it is not sanctified. So when you pay the tithe after, you didn't honor God because the tithe is under the principle of honor. Say honor. For instance, there's a protocol of long life. Honor your father and your mother, and it shall be well with you, and you shall live long. It's a protocol. You follow it. I don't care what the demons of hell does. They can't take you. It's a simple protocol. You don't follow it. You violate it. You can pray as much as you want. The devil can take you. Everybody give him back the money. You've collected it? Thank you, Pastor. Yeah. Brother, I don't know you. I know Bishop Crazy. So take your eyes off my money. Tell somebody, take your eyes off my money. I paid my tithe. You can't touch it. Amen? So now, go to Psalm 41 and verse 5. Look at Psalm 41, verse 5. My enemies speak evil. Any evil and ill spoken against you between tonight and the rest of the days of the week, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the evil be repealed.
Repealed.
In the name of Jesus, let it be overturned. Whatever evil have been spoken against you that has gone into effect in the womb of time, that has gone into effect in the atmosphere, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let it be overturned. Somebody say overturned.
Overturned.
Say overturned.
Overturned.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Overturned.
Overturned.
Sit down for 2 minutes. Watch this.
My enemies speak evil of me.
Uh-huh.
When shall he die?
When shall he say a dead wish?
A dead wish.
Say the verdict of death.
The verdict of death.
Say the sentence of death.
The sentence of death. And his name perish.
You know that word name perish means they want to destroy your legacy. They want your children, the generation after you, not to exist and not to be counted. It's a dead wish. And it's in the womb of time. Go to Psalm 90. Go to Psalm 79 verse 11. Let me show you something. Psalm 79 verse 11.
Psalm 79 verse 11.
Uh-huh.
Let the sign of the prisoner come before thee.
Uh-huh.
According to the greatness of thy power.
Uh-huh.
Preserve thou those that are appointed to die.
You know, this is not God. God doesn't appoint anybody to die. Are you hearing me, somebody? The enemy has marked somebody here to die between now and the end of this year. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, let those appointed to die by the underworld be delivered in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Let them escape the sentence of death.
Yeah.
Say, I command.
I command.
My escape. From the sentence.
From the sentence.
Of death.
Of death.
I command.
I command.
My escape.
From every.
Dead wish. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I command. My unconditional.
Release.
From the verdict.
Of premature death.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
I overturn it right now. Put your hands together. Overturn it right now.
Overturn.
Sit down in the name of Jesus. Hear me. There are a lot of things that are happening to believers. A sister said something to me the other day. He said, Papa, why has God allowed this to happen to me? God hasn't allowed anything to happen to you. Bishop, please help me. He said, God, why me? God doesn't allow bad things or evil things to happen to his kids. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Bible says, My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Here stands for revelation or illumination. See, illumination.
Illumination.
See, revelation.
Revelation.
What is killing us is our lack of ability to know what's going on in the shadows. What's going on behind the scenes. Somebody say, I hear you. Thank you. Water is good. Take your eyes off my water. Why are you looking at my water when I'm the one speaking and you ain't saying nothing? Tell someone to leave the preacher alone. Mm-hmm. Amen. God, why me? My people are destroyed for the lack of. You know, Peter, watch this. Stephen was killed. Okay? And after that, they went for James, the brother of Jesus, and murdered him prematurely. Killed two of them prematurely. Then the Bible said, when the people saw, when Herod saw that it pleased the people that they killed Stephen and James, they went for Peter. They went for the rear man. And when they went for Peter, the church said, not this one. Because somebody, not this one.
Not this one.
Oh, somebody say, not this one.
Not this one.
And then turn to somebody and say, not this time around. Yes, not this time around. Tell someone in the name of Jesus. The enemy, the adversary,
will not have me,
nor my seed.
Not this time around,
and not this one. one.
And not this one.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Satan.
Satan.
Not this one.
Not this one.
Wrong address.
Wrong address.
Put your hands together and give God praise.
Know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
If you consider your pain and betrayals, and you consider yourself and your immediate family, you will never sow and you will withhold what God has given you for the benefit of others, and one day you will answer to God.
Like Archbishop Duncan Williams on Facebook and receive inspiring prayers and messages every day. Log on today and see you online.
David said, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver and the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the house of my God.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.